Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Yay!
This is the Feedback and More Once Upon a Time fan podcast show. And the reason why I wanted to do this is because we get some fantastic emails, but a lot of times we run out of time because we play the voicemails and we are doing our discussions about the show.
Right.
And we love the feedback, and I wanted to give time for the great folks that send in the emails. Now, in this show here, we're not going to count I think there's only one thing I may mention, but we're not normally going to count Twitter and Facebook because that's more public in nature and a lot of people can read that and see.
Right.
But obviously the emails
are sent to the show
email account, and the voicemails are sent to the voicemail account.
Sure.
So no one would know, and that's why we certainly want to play them and share them. So that's really the reason behind this. So first of all, I just have to say that David is the listener extraordinaire. Now, I don't want anybody else who listens to say, wait a minute, I'm I'm the listener extraordinaire. David keeps up on really cool information and sends a lot of really cool emails and different things. He did the Once Upon a Time quiz that was featured. So, David, bottom of my heart, thank you so much. He's a thinker, and we're going to read his emails, and it's really incredible. So, David, gold star for the day. Thank you so much. Really, really, really appreciate it. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the emails that we received. I may go through some little notes that I didn't get to, because what I want to do for the main show is really stick to an hour, really just kind of roll through it, and because I think anything more than an hour, people are just kind of I don't know, that's a long time.
It can be, yeah.
So this show, Feedback and More, is more kind of a loose thing where we kind of catch up and discuss different things. And it's, you know, if it goes over an hour, it goes over an hour. But, you know, we want to kind of at least catch up what we've got. So David emails in and mentions that Abigail was one of David's wives in the Bible. And that was a great point. And I didn't even really catch that initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, again, he was talking about gotta love the writers. He likes the way they're tying all the stories together. So that was a cool point. And I didn't even catch that initially. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't either. I absolutely did not catch that either.
What are the words on the wall in Mary Margaret's apartment?
Now, I know one of them is polish.
Right.
The other one I thought was great. G-R-A-T-E. Was that right?
Yeah.
Does that seem right? There was another one, too, and we even talked about this off-show, and I can't remember what it says, but it seems to be like an advertisement for some sort of cleaning something or other.
Right. You know, like maybe it's allusion polish. to the cleaning of the memories or something.
Well, but, yeah, that could be, or it could be another tip of the cap to who she really is, because Cinderella, what did she do when she first went into the Seven Dwarves' home?
Right.
She started cleaning up.
That's true. That's true.
Good so, point. And Cinderella also was cleaning up too.
Right.
So, not that Cinderella lives or anything, but I think that that's a theme that runs through fairy tales.
I'll go through and I'll try and put together a couple of screen caps that kind of have the whole thing on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, great, and it's G-R-A-T-E,
yes.
And then polish is right next to the door. You see that quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's another
word on the left.
It starts with a B, and I can't.
I thought it was another P word.
Okay. All right. And also, what year was gasoline 15.7 cents a gallon? That was probably on one of the signs in there. And I don't know.
Was it really 15.7 or $1.57?
Well, here's an interesting
point. I'm not questioning. I'm just saying I didn't even notice it. So I just want to say if it was 15.7 cents a gallon, it was like the 30s, if I'm not mistaken, 20s mm-hmm. or 30s. Maybe well, even the 40s. But if it was $1.57, that would have been like the 80s.
There was an email also that he sent. And again, it's really cool. David catches things that I miss all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was that I did some screen caps today of the newspaper that Mary Margaret Blanchard was reading. And she said, and there was no date on it.
No, I couldn't see a date on it either. There was a published something or other, and it was 75 cents for the paper.
Right.
So when was the paper 75 cents?
Yeah. So with no date on it, mm-hmm. I'm thinking that maybe it's just some weird universe where things are kind of set, like gas is 15 cents, the paper 75 cents. You know, I mean, my theory of 1983, the time where or the year that time stopped, may be wrong, but
yeah,
anyway,
it's possible. I mean, it's a timeless place if you think about it, because even the food specials on the wall of the diner, they're really cheap prices. I mean, crazy cheap prices, if I remember correctly. Right. Like $1.99 for a full dinner plate and $2.99 for some other stuff. So, I mean, it's really inexpensive. So you figure, okay, so timeless, if they've been doing this for a really long time, but again, it's 28 years.
Sure.
So this one is a little longer of one, and it's got a few points in it. So I'm just going to kind of highlight the points that I'm seeing here. So this is from Obie's Girl, and she says that the recent episode where we learned about Jiminy Cricket's background is the earliest story so far in the fairy tale world, since we saw Geppetto as a little boy, but he's an old man in the pilot. So that's like a way back story. Way, 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 way back story. So that's actually an interesting point, because I think we did have that conversation saying, okay, yeah, if that's Geppetto, the little boy is Geppetto, this is way back. So then the next thing is Snow meeting Prince Charming in Snow Falls comes next. So she's chronologically listing out the way the episodes would have run. So her other point is that the events of the pilot episode are considered the epilogue of the whole story, since we never saw what happened after Prince Charming and Snow White were married. So we saw them married, and then some point in time later, she's having the baby. So she's right. We've kind of discussed that a little bit, but I agree with her that it's the epilogue of the show. And then somewhere between Snow Falls and the pilot is the Cinderella story, because Rumpelstiltskin was imprisoned, and we got to see how that happened in Cinderella's story. And then they were in, Snow White and Prince Charming were in The Price of Gold, but Snow didn't look pregnant. So either she and the prince were newly engaged or recently married. So that's the timeline of how things, that's how the fairy tale world timeline. And then she brought some other points that she thinks the fairy who granted Jiminy's Cricket wish was the same fairy from the pilot. So she's wondering if we're going to get to see her real world counterpart soon, and what will her character be like, or any of the other fairies for that matter. Hmm. And that is an interesting topic, because we have talked about the fact that there are definitely characters in the fairy tale world that we have seen that we have not seen their real world counterpart yet. So I'm willing to bet we will, but that is an interesting point. What will they do? Because obviously Archie Hopper is a great real-world counterpart for Jiminy Cricket. It makes sense. That's what Jiminy Cricket would do if he were a human and had a job. He'd be the psychoanalyst or the therapist. So, yeah, and the queen would be the mayor. You know, that makes sense. Interesting. Let's see. Oh, and then she thought it was really funny, and we pointed this out too at one point, I think, was that the Dalmatian that Archie owns is named Pongo, which is clearly, 101 Dalmatians, Disney's 101 Dalmatians. So she was very proud of Archie for standing up to Regina. Very gutsy mood. Wow. Very gutsy move on his part. True. And then she said, maybe it was just her, but she thought that when Emma and Regina were facing off about Henry, that they were going to kiss, which would explain the numerous fan fiction requests for that pairing on LiveJournal. I don't know if I would... I didn't sense that, but then I may not have been looking for that. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that one. Do you think Archie or Jiminy Cricket is free of his deal with Rumpelstiltskin? Interesting, and what she... Her, impetus for saying this is the potion was meant for his parents, but his dad switched the vials and it was given to Geppetto's parents instead. So is he free from his deal?
That's a good question.
Well, and here's why I say yes. I'm going to say yes, he is. Here's why. Because remember, the deal was that he just had to give the parents the potion, right? And then Rumpelstiltskin would come collect.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he had to do for it, though. Do you remember what he had to do?
Well, it seemed like...
What was his price?
The trade of the...
The parents, you're right. Okay, so, yeah.
So it's going to be the parents' puppets, or in this case, it seems to be Geppetto's parents' puppets.
Yeah, well, he did say my parents... But see, the funny thing is that, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, he would technically be free because the trade was parents for the potion. Rumpelstiltskin got parents. Not his parents, but he got parents. So, and he knew what the potion would do. So maybe he purposely planned that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We think he's been orchestrating all these things and events. Yeah. And so maybe that's the thing. Knowing the nature of Jiminy's parents, mm-hmm. knowing that they would do something sneaky and underhanded, like trade the potions.
Yep. I definitely go back to what I mentioned in the main show, is that we have a Jacob and Man in Black kind of an influence mm-hmm. going on here. Right. So
yeah, I do agree. Yep. I do believe that he is free of his obligation to Rumpelstiltskin. And then she talks about how she was really amazed at how right we were about the fairy tale world being right on underneath, directly underneath Storybrook. So
that was pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, and she even said it's very similar to Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of the Earth, where there's a world right beneath our world. So there you go. And she would also not mind a Prince Charming watch, since she's starting to develop a little crush on the actor.
Well, I would imagine that we'll be seeing more. But yeah, the last episode was really great.
I got to tell her. I'm kind of liking Prince Charming a little more now, too.
Yeah. So
he is pretty awesome. So we have another one? We do.
Well, that's the beginning of that one, wasn't it? Or
No, this is a different one.
Okay.
This is a totally different one. So it is also from Obie's Girl, another one, but she had a chance to look at the screen caps from the pilot and the recent episode, and the fairy we saw in that still small voice is definitely the same fairy. So, and she even said that Snow isn't wearing a ring in the ballroom scene, but she definitely doesn't look pregnant either. So she doesn't think they're engaged. So this is just, it's a follow-up to her previous email. So there's that. Oh, she did actually, however, have another piece to this. And I guess she may have started with this email first and then kind of moved on to this other one. Emma's baby blanket is in Emma, the princess Emma.
Right.
Her baby blanket is in real world Emma's belongings when she unpacks it, Mary Margaret's, and I totally didn't catch it, but it's very clearly there. I'm looking at the screen caps, and it's absolutely the same blanket. And it's funny because she says in the same scene she wasn't sentimental, but then why keep the baby blanket?
And we got a cool listener on Twitter that actually tweeted to me that it was also spotted in Emma's Boston apartment as well.
Oh, nice.
So it's really... It's there. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, these Lost guys, that was very prevalent in Lost. So I totally agree. Anyway, go ahead. Did you have one you wanted to read, or do you want me to go with this next one?
Keep going. It's fine.
Okay. This one is from David. And he says, Dr. Whale works at the Storybrooke Hospital. His fairy tale character is yet to be revealed. So if Jiminy transformed from man to a cricket in the fairy tale world, then back to a man in our world, then Dr. Whale could have transformed from a man to the whale who swallowed Pinocchio in the fairy tale world, then back to a man in our world. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. So the whale's name in the fairy tale world, according to Disney, is, do you know?
Monstro.
That is correct. Monstro, the whale.
Yep.
So theoretically, he could be Monstro.
You know, and then I think we had a discussion at one point, and you said, well, but what is the purpose of Dr. Whale?
Yeah.
Kind of transferring, you know, what the whale actually was doing. Mm-hmm. In the fairy tale world, and now as the human counterpart.
Exactly.
What's a purpose? And that's a tough question.
That is a difficult one, because I'm trying to think of other fairy tales. Doc is one of the seven dwarves.
Right.
But I don't think Dr. Whale is one of the seven dwarves.
Right.
I mean, he could be, but I don't think so.
I do think that they're going to do a little switcheroo thing. And we've already talked about the whole Lady Hawk thing with the evil queen's love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he might be dead. I don't think so.
Oh, maybe.
I think he has been conjured into some type of an animal in the fairy tale world. Very a la Lady Hawk, so that the evil queen cannot be with him.
Mm-hmm. For whatever
reason. And he's gone forever. But what's interesting is maybe he is in the real world as something else. I don't know. I don't know. So
yeah, and then here's another thought. Now that we've talked about this, I'm starting to go down this path, and I know this is way down the road in the future. But when the curse is broken and they all go back to fairy tale world, what do they go back as?
Right.
Do they go back as what they were in the fairy tale world, or do they keep the same form they're in now? And just transport directly. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Is Jiminy Cricket going back to being a cricket again? Or yep. I should say Archie Hopper, right. I should say.
I
know that's like a way future thing, but anyway.
Sure.
Just a little. Just keep the tabs on that.
The thing I want to throw out too is when you're watching the show and you see things like when Rumpelstiltskin says, how far are you willing to go?
Mm-hmm.
To the evil queen, and the evil queen says, as far as it takes. And I'm telling you, jot that down, because you're going to see those lines again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be to the point where it's going to destroy her. Mm-hmm. And the question will come around again, you know, with the thought behind, if you keep going, you will die. And it's this whole idea of how committed is she to total destruction, and say, how far are you willing to go?
Mm.
And then at that point, she may say, well, not that far. You know, I mean, she may discover a line that she shouldn't have crossed in the beginning, and she won't cross now. But anyway, it's just in Jaws, there's a term called the lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the air tanks,
mm-hmm.
that became a lifeline. And so at the beginning, you know, you see them and they start to kind of bang forward. And then Quint says, be careful of those. They're, you know, dangerous. They right. can explode.
Right.
And so that's what they use for the shark.
Right.
To escape.
Right.
Right. And there are certain lines that there are callbacks or whatever that will repeat, just like you'll see things again, right? Sure. And so those types of lines aren't throwaway lines, and you have to kind of, because they're important,
right? Right.
So anyway.
They're very deliberate, and you're absolutely right. I think that is definitely something to keep in our back pocket for somewhere down the road. It could be soon. It could be It could be several seasons from now, and we'll see something to right. that effect. We don't right. know. We just don't know.
Cool. So I will read this here. And then you have a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I have on my glasses because I am old. So,
we're not that old.
So in Father Roderick's podcast, The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, and he was kind enough to mention us, so I will mention him again.
Nice.
And I will give a link to his show. There's more than enough room for multiple Once Upon a Time shows. So I remember when Lost was at the peak, there were 4 and 5 shows, and people listened to all of them.
Yeah.
And so I think it's happening again with Once Upon a Time. So the windmill, there was a discussion about Don Quixote, and I don't know particularly the story, but I did at least mention it, that that's the only...
Yeah, Don Quixote, well, okay, so originally I was like, I don't know if I see that, but I guess on some level I do. So the story of Don Quixote, if I remember correctly, and of course I'm hoping that if I'm not, somebody will help me out with this. But if I remember right, he fell in love with a girl, and I don't know if she wanted him or not, but he went mad, completely mad, and he had a faithful servant. I want to say Pancho Villa. That sounds right to me, but that may not be right.
Well, it is Sancho Panza.
That's it. Sancho. I knew it was Pancho. Mm. Anyway. So Sancho Panza is his friend, his loyal friend who kind of rides with him because he goes out. He thinks he sees dragons, but it's really a windmill. It's a giant windmill.
Right.
And he threatens, you know, he's like out there. He's going to kill it. He's going to absolutely just destroy it.
I think he thought they were giants, but the same thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. Giants, same dragons. Yeah. And there's something else too. But anyway, bottom line is he's off his rocker.
Right.
So I guess I can see kind of where, you know, okay.
Well,
there was a little tiny bit of a, you know, a tie into it.
Well, let's step forward with that.
But that windmill was tiny.
I understand, but let's step forward with that.
Okay.
With the crazy part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's been really some discussion about that. And so I did a screen capture of David Nolan touching and admiring the unicorn mobile.
Right.
That didn't jog his memory.
No.
But the windmill did.
Right.
Okay. So I think we kind of alluded to it, but you know, the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that David Nolan are both brothers in the real world. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Is if you watch him throughout the times where you see him, I see him switch back and forth from,
really?
From this, you know, pursuer to this kind of, you know, mysterious whatever. I don't know. I just,
And
at that time, he may have been, okay, I mean, I don't know.
Here's why I don't think that he's both. Because the question you asked earlier is, why did the windmill jog his memory and the mobile did not? Because the windmill was part of real world, right?
Okay.
So it jogged his real world memories. It didn't jog his I'm Prince Charming memories.
Well...
Remember, he had amnesia before this. He had no idea who he was. He was John Doe. He didn't know. And then everybody kept telling him he was David Nolan. But the funny thing is the minute he saw the windmill, which jogged his real world memories, now he knows he's David Nolan. He still doesn't know he's Prince Charming.
All right. I still say that at some point the writers are going to account for his vacillation back and forth because I really believe that he was, you know, committed to marry Margaret. But then change his mind, you know. And maybe he's only the one brother. And maybe we'll meet the other brother.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking is they could easily do that where you do have an identical twin for him somewhere that he doesn't even remember he had. Or maybe he does, and maybe that's the whole point. He just remembered his life with Catherine.
Well,
but and here's the other thing. I mean, think about it. In Fairy Tale World, in his story, he said, you know, he told his mother when she brought up the whole Miller's daughter, he said, you know what, we may be poor, but I can afford love. In other words, I don't want to marry unless it's for love, and I'm not going to marry just to save the farm. And so then when the time came and he didn't have a choice and he had to marry, he could have run away.
Right.
Totally could have run away. Wouldn't have been a problem. He could have hidden. He could have gotten away. Not a big deal. What did he do? And his mother even said, but dear, you need to, you know, you wanted to marry for love. There's still time for that. You can do that. And he's like, no, this is the right thing to do. And that's what he said.
Well, I think you talked me out of my crazy theory. I think you're right.
Okay.
Because it just...
Not to say anyway. Not to say that your theory is not feasible on some level. I just think that these writers, and especially knowing how they wrote Lost, again, you know, I mean, as much as we watched Lost and we're paying attention to that, knowing how they are, there's always some other, they make you think one thing for about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, and guess what? We're going to throw this in there. And that's why, you know, we change our minds.
Well, the only thing is, honestly, when I watched him, it felt like I was watching two people because he would flip from one side to the other. And that's kind of what caused me to think that.
And I didn't really pick up on that only because maybe it wasn't as pronounced to me as it might have been to you. I figured it was just him. Look, he had this piece of him that he didn't know. You know, his amnesia blocked out his past, but he wanted to make a future with Mary Margaret because that's who he really loves. That's right. His true love. So the fact that he ended up going back to Catherine was the right thing to do. I think that may be what you're talking about, the flip-flopping. Because he knows he's resigning himself to the fact that he's got to go back with Catherine because she is his wife. He married her. They were having problems, but he married her.
Right.
And what's funny about that, I don't know, it just now dawned on me. So does that remind you at all of Snow Falls, where they clearly share a moment? He talks about the ring, and she's like, he goes, but it's not your thing. And she's like, well, I don't know, I'd have to try it on. And didn't she try it on?
Yeah.
And then there was a moment between the two of them. And then she goes, oh, well, you know, and then she like shakes it off, right? Same thing kind of happened. Right. He turned and went back because he had a fiance to go back to.
Okay, fair enough. No, that's solid, and that makes sense. So I will retract my crazy theory, but thank you for letting me put it out on the table.
Of course.
All right.
And again, it's always fun to kind of go down these paths because you never know when you may change my mind on something.
Well, you know what's interesting is the whole discussion about Sheriff Graham. Whether he was the big bad wolf whether he was the huntsman. Okay. Yeah. It could have gone either way. It really
could have.
They laid so many clues out there and little red herrings and all this kind of stuff. So
it's always up to interpretation until they actually confirm something for you.
Well, and it's fun to guess and it's fun to kind of say, well, I think it's this. And people say, no, it's not that, you know, and all that. So I want to talk quickly about the ring too while we're there. Is I swear on as little money as I've got that the screen capture I did a blog post and I had a screen capture of Regina wearing a green ring that I could swear was the same one that Mary Margaret has.
See, and I do recall vaguely seeing that, but that without really seeing them up close. And again, that may be, like you said, a red herring. Maybe it's not quite the same one.
Okay.
Or maybe it's a twin.
Well, right. And the thing is what I was going to say
because,
maybe Now, Obie's girl brought up a great point.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of times these scenes are not in direct order in
Correct.
What we're
They're
seeing.
Not in chronological order at all.
So, just to geek out really quick, it was kind of like Citizen Kane, where the movie was based, had little scenes from all through this guy's life. And then when you got to the end, you saw how all the pieces put together. And then you could make sense of it. And I think the same thing is this, is we're seeing these scenes, even in the real world, that are out of order. And so, you know, maybe Regina got the ring from Catherine after he left her for good.
I think the real world is in order, though.
Okay.
I do think it's in order.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Twin rings, maybe.
Right.
From twin brothers.
Okay. So, but
all I'm saying is we don't know whether Snow White ever met the prince, the original one, the one we don't know the name.
Right.
In which case, if she did and he was intended for Regina or was in love with Regina or vice versa, maybe that's where Snow White ruined her life.
Okay.
We don't know because we don't know. There's so much backstory that hasn't been told. We don't know.
And
I'm just throwing it out there. There's
sure.
my crazy little theory.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All I'm saying.
So there was a couple of comments to the podcast we did for The Shepherd. And listener Bob, thanks Bob, posted a comment about, he was just discussing the coolness of having David leave Catherine at whatever point in time the writers feel, and then having Mary Margaret based on her name, which actually she gave in an early interview for Once Upon a Time before it premiered, and she said, "I play Sister Mary Margaret Blanchard." Okay. And that always stuck with me. And that's what I mentioned it in the last podcast. And so Bob was mentioning that it would be cool if once David left Catherine for good, then something like Mary Margaret would consider going back to the convent.
Yeah.
And that kind of a struggle. I'm kind of paraphrasing. I may have got it right. I don't have it here in front of me. But that was basically the gist of it. And David... listener David, cool. He responded back and he said, I don't think the writer should do that. And I kind of understand where he's coming from is TV has a tough time with kind of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's when it comes to, you know, religious things and that kind of a
right.
thing. And I understand that, but I crazy theory tossing it on the table. When you name a character, Sister Mary Margaret Blanchard.
Right.
And it's on an interview.
Do you, Snow White, promise to take this man to be your husband and love him for all eternity?
I do.
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Once Upon a Time is a reinvention of the fairy tales we all know, but our ironic twist is that the Evil Queen cast a curse to thrust us into a sort of modern time and place.
Where are we going?
Somewhere horrible.
I play Snow White, and she has been recreated in a modern time and place into a woman named Sister Mary Margaret Blanchard, who is a school teacher.
We'll pick this up after recess. No running!
In the cursed Storybrook world, she is plagued with all of the qualities that the Evil Queen would want her to have. The insecurities, hopelessness, the negative characteristics of Snow White.
These stories, they're a way for us to deal with our world. A world that doesn't always make sense.
My favorite fairy tale was always Snow White. So when I got that call, I really did flip my lid. Working with Prince Charming was really a joy. Josh Dallas really brings something so dynamic to the role.
You found me.
I will always find you.
Once Upon a Time is full of hope, love, action, adventure, mystery, fantasy, and all of the fairy tale characters we know and love.
Now, David feels like they probably initially wanted that to happen, but they've kind of changed their mind and wrote a different way. But I think that they're going to go there. And they can go there in a way that, you know, I mean, the Sound of Music classic film.
Oh, yeah.
That dealt with it. And I don't see that they can do it in a cool way, in a story way, and all that. So anyway, I think they're going to go there. But anyway, they were having a really cool discussion about it. And that's what's cool about these comments, you know. You know, everybody's treating everybody nice and cool, and that's fantastic. But that's what it's about. So,
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So I think you have.
I have a few more here. If you want to, excuse me, if you want to take a couple of them off my hands, you can do that. So we have an email from Malini. So she just had some insights and questions, and she was a little confused with the episode, which I, based on the date, I think this would have been the last one, The Shepherd. Oh, maybe not, though. Anywho, yes, it is. I'm pretty sure, yes, it's definitely The Shepherd. So anyway, she watched it again, and so here's a theory she came up with, and she's not even sure if it's correct or even remotely close, but here it goes. So she's saying that everything Regina and Catherine are saying about David and his life is true. He really was married to Catherine in Storybook, and he was probably placed in Storybook by Regina as married to Catherine. So he wasn't in the coma because of the stab wound while he was trying to place Emma in the wardrobe, which is what everybody assumed. And it makes sense because nothing is mentioned about his stab wound when he wakes up, right? Mm-hmm. So he was probably a healthy man when they were placed in Storybrooke, and he had the accident while he was in Storybrooke, just like how he remembered it when he was narrating it to Catherine. So when Mary Margaret told Henry in episode 3 that John Doe has been like this since she's been volunteering, probably means that she wasn't volunteering for the past 28 years, maybe just for the past 10 or 8 years. So when she started, he already had his accident and was already in the coma. Now, his marriage to Snow White is still unclear. We don't know how Abigail left the picture so he could be with Snow. And something set tells her that it's going to be a while before we find out. And that's probably very true. Another insight that needs clarification is in Mr. Gold's shop when he saw the unicorn mobile. When he didn't remember his fairy tale past, is it because the past was erased by Regina? And when he saw the windmill, did he remember his past because it was his Storybrooke past? I'm a little confused and I need another insight. And, her last little thing was she thought the whiskey reference to Desmond and Loss was way too cool. And yeah. I agree with her.
Yeah.
And yeah, like we just said a few minutes ago, funny that I picked this up and read it. I hadn't read it before. I do believe that the past, the reason why he didn't remember based on the mobile is because that was his fairy tale past, not his storybook past. And the windmill is what
triggered the story. It's a solid theory. That's a solid theory. So, good.
So, there's that. Here's another one. This one comes from David. In The Shepherd, so did King George and his wife name this son James, or was that his real name? So, this is the Prince Charming. His name is James. Did they name him James, or was that his real name? And I don't know. Or was that the first son? Oh, so I see what he's saying. So he's saying, did they name their son James, or was that his real name? And then the twin brother assumed the name James, was engaged to Abigail for a time, but married to Snow. So we wonder what his real name is. Fascinating. Beyond fascinating. Because we did have that conversation a little while ago, before we recorded, that we don't even know what the other brother's name was.
Right.
So if he did take the place... Which somebody posted on Twitter. Remember we were talking about that, and I was like, I know there's a fairy tale or a story or something. It was Man in the Iron Mask.
Right.
Which I never saw the movie, but I understand and I know the plot. So it was that is a really good assumption, and I would agree that that's probably the inspiration for this. So if, in fact, son number one, the one that was killed, his name was James... then it stands to reason that when the king adopted the brother, who, whatever his name was, he assumed the name James because he had to, because the whole point was to fool everyone into thinking he was James. because Midas didn't know that he had been killed. Right?
Right.
So perhaps we will find out that his name isn't really James, that it may have been something else. And wouldn't it be funny if his real name was David? Because we don't know what his original birth mother named him. We didn't see that. We didn't hear that. Did she ever call him by name? I don't think she did.
No. And the same cool Twitter responder that responded about the man in the iron mask also responded about the windmill and said, silly symphony. And I just looked up.
Oh, right.
And it was the old mill. And the old mill was back in 1937. And so it's about an old mill, and it's, you know,
there's that one, but there's another one that had three windmills in it.
Okay.
I wish I could remember the name of it.
Well,
anyway. Okay. Bottom line is, and I'll have to do some digging and look it up, but it's an animated feature. It's going to make me crazy now. It really is.
Okay.
Anywho, let's keep going.
All right.
Do you have something else you want
to
say?
David asked if we knew what the King Midas symbol was, and we do not.
I looked at
it and I went, it's a sun and three things.
Hold on. So I can tell you that in heraldry, a sun is significant for glory and splendor. The color gold, which there was gold on that, and if I'm not mistaken, red too, but gold. Yep. Gold means generosity, right? And red is military fortitude and magnanimity, which we know already that Midas's army was pretty mighty, but the dragon was still driving him nuts. Now, there's three other things on there, and I just don't know what those things are. It's really hard to take a look and see what they are. So I'm going to have to... Yeah.
There's really not a clear shot.
No, so. And that's the worst part. So I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to see if we can pause the DVR again and take a look.
I did some...
Oh, you did?
Good pausing, yeah. So
okay. Well,
maybe anyway, we'll keep checking on
it.
More than likely, it'll show up on a somewhere else. Hey, everybody! I just wanted to remind you there's a number of great ways that you can stay connected to the show and get involved. So the first thing is there's a great Facebook fan page. It's at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. There's also our website. It's at onceuponatimepodcast.com. If you want to leave a voicemail, the number is 657-333-0626. Our email is oncepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at OUAT podcast. Thanks for listening and let's stay connected. On with the show. And then here's David's email about there's no issue date on the newspaper. So and he also this guy's awesome. It also the newspaper that Sydney from the Daily Mirror held up. There's no issue date.
No. Yeah, that's right. That's
David,
true.
David, gold star.
Yay. Wow.
Okay, so... Okay, well, she's checking.
I'm checking something, so
I'm
go gonna ahead.
Read, I'm going to read an email from Jay. So, here we go. Okay, so some ideas I have and just wanted to share with you in the podcast community. First, in the second or third episode... the mayor has the man from the newspaper try to find info on Emma. Now, I believe that this man was the enchanted mirror that gave the evil witch info on whoever she wanted. And that's true. It's Sydney is the reporter and basically digs up information for Regina. So it kind of works the same way, you know, as Colleen was saying in the fairy tale world,
right,
where the evil queen would walk up and ask questions in the magic mirror, who's the fairest one of all, and all this. So same thing. Same thing.
I totally agree.
So next, I think Geppetto was in jail for drinking. As we have seen, he carries a flask with him. Also, I don't believe that there will be a Pinocchio as of now, because the curse takes what most precious to you, and that was Pinocchio to Geppetto. And since technically he was made, he might not be in Storybrooke, or maybe they have not made a reference to Pinocchio as yet. And that's probably true.
Right.
Although I don't think that Geppetto was in jail for drinking. He may take a little sip now and then, but
yeah,
he was there, from what I saw, he was there repairing the cabinets. So I think he's a handyman, and he kind of works around town. And
yeah,
at that point,
agree,
he probably was working in the sheriff.
Yeah, I mean,
in the sheriff's office.
We don't know exactly what he's doing, but he could have been repairing a door. He could have been repairing something, because if he's a handyman, which I, you know,
with
I
wood,
absolutely.
But you definitely have a good point about Pinocchio, because we have not seen.
We haven't
that
seen him yet. So is we don't yet. Know.
And I want to bring out one point really quick, and we'll come back to the rest of your email. Promise is we were talking about who can pass into Storybrooke, Maine, from the fairy tale world.
Right.
And the one thing is, I believe if you're dead in the, well, no, that doesn't make sense.
See?
Because the first brother, we're kind of saying that he's going to make it through.
We don't know, though. We're saying it's possible. Because we don't know.
You'd mentioned, because we're all assuming that Prince Charming was dead, but you're saying, we don't know that for sure. And that's an old Lost ploy, because when you see something and you say, well, he's dead, and the writers will say, well, he looked dead, but he really wasn't. And,
he was only mostly dead.
Right. So, you know, I mean, obviously, if we have a camera rolling, you know, and then 2 minutes after something, right, then he would...
Right.
Anyway, so, but, okay. Sorry about that. So, I think Rumpelstiltskin killed the fairy grandmother. Fairy grandmother. Wow. I'm inventing new people.
New people. That's awesome.
Well, a fairy grandmother would be nice. And
you
give
never
you money
know.
And let you make long distance phone calls on her phone and not say anything.
Okay.
Anyway, fairy godmother to get her wand, because he wants to be the only magical creature in the land. I believe this because he wants people to come to him for magic so that they can be indebted to him, and which we all know is what he wants. And also, when they're indebted to him, he has power over them. And he changed Cinderella's idea of magic for his benefit. Good magic has no price to it, I think. Maybe a small catch, like Cinderella had to be home by 12 a.m. in the Disney story. That's kind of, you should be home by 12.
Yes.
Nothing good happens after 12. Anyway. But eventually it all works out, and Rumpel wants a price. So it's all about power and owing him. And that's exactly true. I think the wand represented magic that he could dispense.
Exactly.
And get things for it. So I think you're right on the money with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think good magic is free, but... When Rumpelstiltskin gets involved with magic, there's always a cost.
Right.
And there's always, yep. Okay, those are my thoughts. And now thanks for an awesome podcast. We really, I really love it. And I'm glad there is a show on TV that is close to Lost. And I appreciate that, Jay, so much. And we're just having a ball. So, but thank you for writing your email. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
What are you? You're still looking.
I'm still looking, because you know me. So take
okay,
that last one.
I will.
That'd be great.
I'll take the last one here while she's looking up something. So Mr. David sent in one more, and he gave some clips from other, I believe, things that he left on other sites. And... anyway, there's some following words that were mentioned in there. Choose, choosing, choose, choice, choice, chooses, chose. And so all these were used throughout the episode. And that's exactly true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about choice. And that's a direct link back to Lost. You know, I mean, the whole time, you know, when Jacob would talk to people and say, but I don't have to do this, do I? And he goes, no, it's your choice.
Right.
You know, even at the end, I was watching the finale again. And, you know, he said, I chose you, but you don't have to choose this. The final overseer of the island. Mm-hmm. So he said, it's your choice. Who do you choose? So it's an interesting kind of flip-flop there.
Right.
But let's see here. Yeah, I don't think Desmond would have liked them opening up that whiskey.
No.
Very expensive whiskey.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true.
Well, and you're talking like you're looking up something.
Well, because I am. But here's the funny thing. The more I'm looking here, it's making me nuts, but it may very well be the old mill. It just might be that.
This is interesting.
What?
Something here. Dr. Whale kept David in a drug-induced coma. It's a little late. I need to get my beauty sleep.
Yeah.
Have you seen me? I need my beauty sleep. Had Dr. Whale kept David in a drug-induced coma using capsaicin and other ingredients to assist in implanting false memories? And then there is some a little link here about synapses and memory formation. And what's interesting is on the header of the newspaper that capsaicin
yes.
was in that far left or far right section of that header.
Middle of the header.
Right.
Right in the dead center.
Yeah. So this is genius right here.
Wow.
Dude.
That's amazing.
So thanks
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, I would never have picked up on that.
That's great.
Wow.
So, okay, you're still.
No, you're still I'm not. Looking. I'm just checking in case, but nothing is. I'm really starting to think it probably is the old mill.
Okay.
So that Twitter follower was right. That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying that's awesome because it just for some reason it didn't sound completely like I thought there was something else, but I'm really starting to believe that it's actually yeah.
Okay, let me kind of do some round robin notes that may or may not mean anything. Hopefully they mean something. So Regina at the collapsed section there in front of the mine, Regina tells Emma to bring Henry to her, which is probably what she told Mr. Gold, but in another way. I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, and I think. And it was interesting that Regina was asking Emma for help.
Yeah.
You know, if Regina's all powerful. Mm-hmm. But she was asking Emma for help. And then one day, Emma's going to take it all away. She's going to take her down.
Sure.
And it was interesting, just that whole exchange. And
what was the next thing?
Let's see. Oh, did I mention Hogan's Heroes?
You did.
I don't want to mention it again then. Okay, so Chimera?
Yes.
That beast?
Chimera is a beast. It was a, you're going to make me look it up again.
It was a beast that Midas mentioned.
Yes.
To Midas put the head of the dragon.
Well, okay, look. So I think here's what I started thinking about. Chimera was a beast that was like it's made up of parts of many different animals and typically female. Head. So chimera, which would be Chimera, and it said Chimera and something else. And I didn't, I could not find anything on the second word because I couldn't really understand what he said. And I kept looking up stuff and I started thinking and I went, you know what? I wonder if this is very much the, their little fairy tale equivalent of Greek mythology of Scylla and Charybdis. Do you know who, do you know what that is?
No.
Scylla and Charybdis were a rock and a whirlpool. So it was when it was on the Odyssey, if I remember right, a later Odyssey, one of those two, where they were going, Homer, he was going to find,
It's okay. Okay.
Anyway, bottom line is, that's where we get the term between a rock and a hard place.
Okay.
Because the where they had to travel in this place in the ocean, there was like this deadly whirlpool that if you didn't go in the right direction, if you didn't know how to get navigate around it, you would die in the whirlpool.
There's a rock song that mentions that too.
A Police song.
Yeah, right.
Ring Around My Heart.
That's ring Around Your Finger.
Yeah, that one.
I'll be. This is lay people. Okay. Anyway.
But anyway, bottom line is
right.
that on between you could go between
wrapped around your finger.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. Ring around your finger.
Ring around my collar. I don't know.
Okay.
No, but what I was going to say is between the whirlpool and the rock, there was a very narrow, very precise passage. That was the only way. But it was, and that was how you got people referred to. That's where we got the expression between a rock and a hard place, because it was very sheer cliffs and very difficult and very treacherous. And then you had the whirlpool, which is a rock and a hard place. So anyway, that's what that made me think of. So Chimera, that may have been their equivalent, or it just could be another mythological thing, you know? Maybe Adam he collects them.
Adam Horowitz and the other writers, please, next
Mr.
time.
Mr. Kitsis?
Mr. Kitsis, please don't use words that we can't listen to and Google. You know, in the future, can you please do Chimera and Leviathan, please?
Something easy. Leviathan we can look up.
See, you know. Joe,
or Scylla and Charybdis.
Yeah, that's easy.
Not that you could use those because they're not actual animals, but, you know, a griffin would have been nice.
Yeah, griffin.
Minotaur. But,
okay, so I wanted to talk about this patron fairy godmother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that really came to me when I wrote that down was in Job, where when Satan came to God and said, I want someone, I'll bet that Job will renounce you if you let me persecute him. And God said, go for it. He man's up to the challenge. He goes, well, the only problem is you have a hedge of protection around him, and I can't touch him. So you're going to have to kind of loosen up the rules a little bit and let me at him. And all really, you know, and God each step, there was a couple of different sections of the story, but God kind of said, okay, you can do up to this point. You know, you can't kill him and you can't touch him, but you can, you know, touch his goods and unfortunately his kids and all this kind of stuff. It was a wild story, but that's
very
what,
brutal.
That's what it came to me. It was that Rumpelstiltskin said, okay, look. You know, they've got this fairy godmother that kind of the inference was there was a protector.
But you know what first thing came to my head? Because what did he ask for? He said, there's a certain wand I want.
Right, right.
And it belongs to your patron fairy godmother.
Right.
And all I ask of you is her whereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't suppose that would be Cinderella's fairy godmother, considering he...
Well,
blew her away and took her wand.
Okay.
Because all he needed to know was her whereabouts, which the king would have known the whereabouts, right?
True.
So that's just my thinking. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, so that's how he ended up where Cinderella was, because he was looking for the fairy godmother because he knew where she would be.
Yep. And I'm just kind of rolling through my notes. Regina told Mary Margaret, don't do something that can't be undone. And the evil queen knew nothing about that, because just about everything she did could be undone. And according to Rumpelstiltskin, all magic can be undone.
There's always an anecdote or anecdote.
So it was kind of funny.
An antidote.
Okay. We're getting very... Okay, the Dragon's Lair approach, I believe it was Ashley. There was a couple of comments about where people were thinking about Monty Python. And we had talked about it in the car.
Yeah.
You know, about the rabbit, right? The cave.
He's got fangs. He'll bite your face off.
Right.
That one, yeah.
He's
got a mean streak in him a mile wide.
They looked very similar to the knights in.
There was a definite Holy similarity.
Grail. So, the bear claw. I think that's alluding to Goldilocks, perhaps.
Possibly. Or the huntsman would have hunted and killed the bear, perhaps. Right. Maybe. Just another clue that he's the huntsman. Even though we already know he is. But anyway. But yeah, I like the Goldilocks theory, too. We might see that.
Oh, and one more thing. Well, hopefully one more thing. Regina walking home from work. Hello? Are you kidding me?
Right. Who does
She's
that?
She's got this 80s car.
Mercedes.
That was cool in the 80s,
Yeah,
walking home from work.
Yeah, but it was such a nice night out.
What? Give me a break. So.
And it didn't even dawn on me that was kind of out of place and out of character.
Yeah. Oh, and just kind of an interesting idea is just think of who has saved who. There's a lot of people have saved other people.
Oh, yeah.
So, because when David Nolan walks in that little kind of ante room next to the stairs, he goes, oh, the two that saved me, or someone else who saved me.
You're the ones who saved my life, right?
Right.
His own daughter, he doesn't even know.
But.
And grandson.
So, it'd be an interesting list of different people who saved who.
Well, Emma's done a couple of things so far saving people.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, three that I can think of.
Right. So Henry.
She saved
Archie
Henry.
Hopper.
Okay, well now we're adding to the list. Because I was thinking Ashley.
Okay.
Henry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
David.
Mm-hmm.
Archie. Who else has she saved?
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
If you know
I'm
more.
Sure there'll be more.
But yeah, it's, I think it's interesting to kind of put people like Emma. I consider her the savior. She's been called a savior and she has saved people. But every time people say, oh, you saved my life. Oh, you saved me. Oh, you. And it's like, yeah, that's what I do. So, you've killed the unkillable. That was interesting. For what it's worth, I thought the brute warrior looked like the bad guy in Willow.
Mm.
Or the guy in the Temple of Doom with the jawbone.
Oh, yeah.
On the little headdress.
Yeah.
And when Prince Charming was dead on the bed, it reminded me of Snow White. And actually, it reminded me of Snow White in the cartoon. Because they had that kind of a slab thing as she was laying there. And it was the same thing with Prince Charming.
Yeah, but that wasn't Prince Charming.
Well, but it was the
older brother.
Older brother.
Or yeah. No, the not older brother. See, you keep saying that and it's not, I keep saying it. It's the twin brother.
Okay.
The unnamed twin.
Yep.
That we think is actually James, but he's the original James.
And what I love is that dead is dead. And there's a famous quote in Lost about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember the writers?
They
said, no, when you're dead, you're dead. And in the end, probably got a little different. but with magic, you cannot bring back someone to life.
Yeah, that's true.
And the
true.
Only thing you can do is break a curse, if you can figure out what would break a curse. So I thought it was interesting of, the power of magic has a limit. You cannot do this. Bring someone back to life. And
yeah.
So you know. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Except if you're Johnny Depp. Well, not Johnny Depp so much, but unless you're Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom.
Right.
And Jeffrey Rush.
So another thing is the line that King George told in James's ear, said, if you undo this, you will destroy this kingdom.
Oh, before he killed the...
No.
Oh, after?
No, he said, if you don't do this, you will destroy this kingdom. And I was thinking about that, and I said, that's kind of like choice, and it's kind of like what's going to happen. And what is happening to Storybrooke?
That was when he was like telling, you know, they were talking to the kids before they sent them on their little way.
Right.
Oh, right. Mm.
So it's kind of like what we discussed about, you know, how Storybrooke is going to become destroyed, you know, and whether it all starts to kind of suck down in a hole or something like that. But anyway, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
The painting behind David Nolan and Catherine Nolan, to me, looked like Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah.
It was a log. And did I mention it in the show?
I don't think we did.
And at the top, there was growing out limbs of trees. And then the bottom, there were legs.
Yeah,
and
that was...
If I mentioned it before, you did not hear me before. I was doing a Jedi mind trick, and yeah, it's not working.
Probably not.
He showed up riding a white horse. And I thought it was interesting for the hero. And apples everywhere. My gosh.
Oh,
more
yeah.
More apples.
Apples all over the place.
Apples on his mother's table.
Yep.
Apples at Regina's house.
Yep.
Apples at Snow White's house.
Yep.
In the fairy tale land. There's at least one apple at Mary Margaret Blanchard's house.
Yeah. I thought I saw one at Archie Hopper's even, too, but I could be just wrong. Yeah,
apples everywhere.
Everywhere.
So I think that's that. So, thanks for listening to our feedback and more.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, one more thing.
You're not going to spoil anything, are you?
No.
Okay.
It's kind of like Steve Jobs. Oh, and there's one more thing.
Okay.
So, we have a surprise.
Yes.
That's coming.
Yes.
At the next official podcast episode that will be released next week.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to give a hint at all?
No.
Okay.
No, this needs to be a really awesome surprise.
Okay.
Seriously.
How big of a surprise is this?
This is monumental in my opinion.
Okay. Okay.
It's redonkulous.
All right. Now let me tell you something about my wife. She is very serious. I'm the silly one.
But she, I can get silly.
Well, but you're normally very, very serious.
Well,
you should have been a lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
Because when I kind of do my stand-up comedy routines here and there, you will correct my comedy.
Sometimes.
I'm saying, honey, this is just a joke. Please,
but
no.
But it's not right.
No, cows don't jump over the moon, Jeff. And I'm going, honey, it's a joke.
Right.
But this is no joke.
Wait. What? That makes me sound like I don't have a sense of humor. I do.
Sometimes you don't, because your analytical mind.
Yeah, I can't get away from that.
Right, and that's one of the wonderful things about you.
That's why that's my job, is analysis.
I understand that.
I'm good at it too.
I know that. No, honey.
But anyway.
Okay, but this surprise, we had a dream.
We did.
And we wanted something really special, and it happened.
Yeah, it did.
And I was blown away. I really was. When I found out that it happened, it was amazing. So
absolutely. I mean, it seriously, I can't even express how awesome it is. I really can't. To me, I mean, and the funny thing is, we were like, we kind of were like, well, is it even possible? Could I mean, that'd be really cool if it happens, but you know, I'm not going to hold my breath because you know, you never know when something like this can happen. But it happened.
Okay, so let's wrap it up with this. If you know anyone who's a Once Upon a Time television show fan, they need to hear the next podcast episode. period.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if they listen to the five or four other shows. They need to listen to the next one. This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And the surprise alone is worth the listen. But anyway, okay, that's it. We're loopy. I'm afraid if we keep talking, I don't know. It's just not going to be good. So thank you so much. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I was talking to Colleen on the way home, and I said, there's three parts to this podcast. The one is the show, and that includes the cast and the crew. Fantastic folks.
Mm-hmm.
And us.
Right.
As hosts. But the third is you guys. If one of these things is not there, we don't have a show.
Right.
And I mean that.
That's absolutely true.
We have some of the nicest, kindest listeners ever. And sometimes listeners that send us little feedback that we need to work on. But hey, it all is working together, right?
Right.
So,
because if nobody was listening to this show, what would be the point of us doing it?
Right.
I mean, you and I can sit and talk about it all we want, but why would we take the time to record? We do this because we know people do enjoy listening. We didn't know at first, and we're thrilled that we have as many listeners as we do.
I don't want to keep going on and on, but.
Because otherwise we're going to start to sound like the drunk, I love you, man.
Right. But we want you guys to know how important you are to us.
It's true.
You know, I mean, it sounds trite, but it's a family. We do this for you, but we also share in it. And that's really the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in your feedback. And now you know for sure that I really care about your feedback.
We do. We absolutely do.
You know, but anyway, we can't wait to watch the episode tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be phenomenal. I've seen little bits and pieces, but there are spoilers floating around. I'm like, no, not all of them, you know. So anyway, we're going to be watching there with you, and we'll be talking at you next week. Thank you so much for being listeners and interacting with us on Twitter and Facebook, and sending in your emails are fantastic, and also calling in on the voicemail line. We need more of all of that. So thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.